morning. My name is Miles McKeska. I'm a master's student at Texas A&M University. And today I'll be talking a little bit about our efforts to use unmanned aerial vehicles to monitor cotton growth and development. I'm working under Dr. Nithya Rajan at Texas A&M. So our study is at the Brazos Bottom Research Farm, just outside of College Station in Burleson County. We're sitting on a pretty heavy clay soil here, and this study was done on a subsurface drip field. The layout of the study is a split plot, with the main plot being irrigation. We were doing daily ET replacement of 90%, 45%, and we had a dry land treatment. And then our subplot was cultivars. So part of this study was just trying to figure out the developed methods for using UAVs for high-throughput phenotyping, but we just wanted to kind of see how would we do this, what methods do you need to do, how, you know, are the current methods we're using working. So this year we were lucky, we were able to get flights almost every week as long as weather permitted, so we got a lot of data. We were trying to fly plus or minus 2 hours of solar noon to limit shadowing effects. We were collecting visual and NIR images each flight. And we also took ground measurements, LAI, using a LIGOR plant canopy analyzer. So here's two pictures. We have a ground control point, a GCP on the left there. These were built by our ag engineering department. We placed these around the field, 8 of these around each field. These are used so that you can georeference each image and so that you can compare image to image from date to date, and you can correctly identify, what's what. On the bottom, we have some radiometric calibration tarps. These are used so that we can convert our images into reflectance images. So we place these out at each flight so that each day we could get a rough estimate of the solar radiation that we were having. So this year, we used two platforms. This first one is a tough wing UAV mapper. It's a fixed wing platform. It's built actually not too far from here in Burney, Texas, and one of our guys on our flight team actually used to work for the company, so we were really happy with this platform. We had over 100 flights on it before it ever gave us any sort of problem, and we had a wing damage on the landing, but we were able to pop that off and throw another one on. Under this platform, we were running the MicroSense Red Edge, which is a five-band multispectral camera. We're getting RGB, NIR, and then we call the red edge a narrow band between your red and your near infrared. It's a 12-bit sensor, so we were really happy with the red edge as well. No problems with it. It was built pretty sturdy, durable. This tough wing, when it lands, it's a crash landing, so the sensor held up for every flight we did. We're also running a DJI Matrice 100. So this is a quadcopter here. At the beginning of the season, we were just using the DJI ZenMuse. That's a RGB high-resolution camera there. We were flying at about 60 feet, so we were able to get really high-resolution images. And then about halfway through the season, we put the red edge on this as well, just to limit our flight time. So we were able to fly our RGB and then our multi-spec all at once with this platform. Some of the softwares we used, PhotoScan for stitching, Envy. It's a post-processing software we used for all our radiometric calibration and then data extraction, and then some ArcGIS. We used that to do mapping and plot data extraction as well. So here's just like a little flow of how the data would work. So we'd go out each week, have a flight. We'd upload our images to the Hub, which is kind of an online portal that our partners at Corpus developed. It was really, really handy. So we'd upload the images. They'd get mosaics. They'd be geo-referenced. I could pull down that data, and then from there, we'd do some radiometric calibration. We'd convert our digital numbers that we get from our camera to a reflectance image. From that, we can make an NDVI image, and then from there, we could pull the values that we wanted from each plot. So here's just an example. On the left, we have it's an RGB image of our field. I think this is taken on July 31st. And then on the right, an NDVI image that we made. You can see your red values are low, blue are high. So this is just an example of your pre-image and your post-image here. So here's a little representation of the growth throughout the season. We picked 8 different flights and put those on the x-axis. You have your flight date, and on your y-axis you have your NDVI value. So you can see the bottom dashed line, that's our 0% or our dry land growth curve, and then the solid line being our 90%, and then the dotted line being our 45%. So you can see that the dry land never reached, you know, as high of values of NDVI, which you'd expect. But interestingly enough, the 45% kind of looks like it outgrew the 90% there. I think part of that was is our 90% kind of got tall on us. We tried to keep it suppressed, but with as much irrigation as we were putting out, it was just wanting to take off and grow. Here we have a graph on the x-axis we have NDVI values, and then on your y-axis the leaf area values. So throughout the growing season, every 2 weeks we try to go out and take leaf area measurements, our leaf area index measurements, and then the same day that we'd have a flight. So you can see that there's a pretty good correlation here between your NDVI values and your leaf area index, which you'd expect. You know, the more vegetation you have, the more, the higher your NDVI value is going to be. Here's our NDVIs breaking down by treatment. So you can see there's not really any difference between our 90% and our 45%. You can see a difference in the dry land or the 0% there. So we were able to see differences, you know, between treatments. But whenever we look at cultivars here, this is a seasonal average for all the 90%. So not a lot of difference between the season averages of the NDVI values there. And here we have a graph on the bottom of the x-axis. We have percent lint pixels, and then on the y-axis we have our yield in seed cotton. And this is kind of an effort to kind of predict yield, I guess. So post defoliation, we'd go out and we'd had an RGB flight. And then once we had our RGB flight, we did an image classification. an image classification. So that basically, I told the computer to classify everything as either vegetation, soil, or lint. Lint being percent lint pixels. So it breaks the image down into a percentage of pixels. So what we could do then is everything that was classified as lint, we took those values and compared them to our yield that we picked. And you can see there's a decent correlation. I think a lot of the variability you see there is due to the fact that overhead flight, you're not getting a lot of the lower bowls. Lower canopy bowls are covered by the upper canopy. So I guess you could attribute most of that to the fact that you're not getting a full view of the canopy from your low bowls to high bowls. So this was our effort at trying to, you know, get an idea of how much cotton we had out in the field. So in conclusion, significant differences in treatment NDVIs were found. Aerial collected NDVI can be used to track canopy growth. That's what we used our LAI for. Our post defoliation image showed that you can get a rough estimate of what you have out in the field as a post defoliation flight. And then further work does need to be done in order to improve our methods and kind of tune up our results a little bit. I'd like to thank Dr. Nithya Rajan, Dr. Galen Morgan, Dr. Steve Haig, my committee members, as well as Dale Mott, Brady Arthur, helping me with Harvest, the flight team, Texas A&M AgriLife, Cotton Incorporated, and with that, I'll take any questions.
Time for a few questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all for your presentation.
Yeah.
I was just interested, you quickly went over, you mentioned leaf area and LAI 2 there. I'm curious if that, in a sense, that using an instrument, calibrating an instrument, that I should be specifically measuring leaf area index, LAI 2000 is an extension coefficient, leaf
Yes, sir.
Instrument with an instrument, yeah, that could probably. Yes, sir. I think that time of day, or I guess atmospheric conditions, whenever you're taking, it's my understanding that you want to have low sunlight whenever you're using the instrument. So I think that that shows some variabilities due to that. And yeah, like you said, the fact you're using the instrument to compare it to an instrument is probably correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Finding differences between cultivars using those indices, you said? I haven't, no, sir. I haven't looked at any indices yet other than in DBI. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I have no idea. That was just a... Yeah, no, I mean, that was post-defoliation, so that was like at that point in the game, it's just kind of to give you an idea. As far as in-season prediction, I haven't really looked at or done anything to try to predict any post-season yields. Anything else?